from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is It's Optional with Trey Wallace, Chance Collins, and Brendan Johns. What do you see?
Dobbs heaves it. They're bunched up in the end zone. It's tipped up. It's caught. It is caught. Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings.
And he just dumps it off for a first down.
Rolls it, fakes the spike. In the end zone, touchdown. Whoa. Jordan Lasley. The legend of Josh Rosen.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap. And the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts Jackson. And he scores on the last play of the game.
It's Optional Fox Sports Knoxville. Rolling along here in the 2 o'clock hour. Big congratulations to my best friend of 27 years. He lives in California. He is in Hawaii. And last night he proposed to his girlfriend, Mr. Chris Moak. Proud of him. I know he's listening and excited for him. So good news on that front. I will be in a wedding.
Shout out, Moak.
Yeah, that's his actual name that I call him, Moak. So excited. So that'll be fun. I get to be in a wedding. So he did it in Hawaii, which is...
That's a flex.
Bastard. Make me look bad. What you doing at? Putt-putt course. What'd your friend doing at? Hawaii. It's like, oh my God. Come on. So we digress and we move on.
Hold on, hold on. Was that your move?
No, hell no. I'm just saying. Putt-putt course? No, I'm just saying somebody did it at a...
Come on.
Somebody did it at a
putt-putt. Come on, Trey.
No, I didn't do it at a putt-putt. I'm not engaged. Okay? I'm not. Sorry. Sorry.
Uh-oh.
Dixie, I'm not engaged. Speaking of putt-putt courses, I still can't get over the time. Me, my cousin Bubba, my uncle, my dad, my cousin, we absolutely ravaged a putt-putt course in Pigeon Forge where we did, no matter where the ball is, we played it was like it was croquet.
Oh, God.
So if you, like, mess up or you miss a shot, we can send your ball to wherever. So we brought out our – we brought out a pitcher. This was late. It was like 9 o'clock. None of those little 17-year-old attendants gave a crap that we were there. They're all probably smoking doobies behind some weird house and all that stuff. But we were, like, chipping from the parking lot onto the course, like, using, you know, a sand wedge out of certain areas.
Just –
on the putt-putt, on the mini golf course.
Obliterating this course?
On the mini golf. We didn't tear up the turf. But, I mean, we were, you know, if somebody messes up a shot, okay, we're sending your ball. So we would send it, like, to the parking lot next door. You know, there was Paula Deen's place was near it. So, like, we sent it near there. It was fantastic. So shout out to that putt-putt course. I'm sorry that we absolutely destroyed it. But it was all in good fun as well. Rolling along here, news of the day going on around the SEC. I knew more changes are coming, and they are absolutely happening right now. Kyle Flood's going to take the Bama job. And then also you've got Sal Sinceri that's going to be leaving Florida. His position is not defined yet at Alabama, but it will be. Who we got online?
We got Roger on the line.
Hey, Roger, what's up, buddy? Oh, I know. I'm sorry.
I wasn't ready.
You weren't ready. I was going. Hey, Roger, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How you doing today?
I'm living the dream, buddy. What you doing?
Oh, not much. Hang on, buddy. What's your name again? I forgot your name.
My name's Trey. T-R-E-Y. Okay.
We got Trey Wallace and Ben Lee.
Huh?
We got Trey Wallace and Ben Lee, Raj. Ben, your favorite producer from the Talk Sports Show.
How you doing today, Trey?
Man, I am great, buddy. I'm looking forward to Tennessee basketball versus Alabama tomorrow. How about you?
Oh yeah, I can't wait to see how we do tomorrow. I just want to ask you how you think we're going to do tomorrow.
I think that Tennessee can control come out and be able to control the tempo with the game. I think Tennessee is big enough down low with Kyle Alexander and Schofield and Grant to be able to have their way with Alabama if they allow themselves to. So, Alabama's a tough little ball team. So, I look forward to seeing what they can do.
That's what I asked you about, man. I know Tennessee been playing well and been playing when we Italy. You think tomorrow could be a tough game?
You know what, Roger? If Tennessee, and thank you for calling, Roger. If Tennessee does not come out and play well tomorrow, if they come out and get cold in the first half and Alabama's able to take advantage. This is an Alabama team that does have some talent on their squad. Avery Johnson, a good coach team. They've lost a couple games. The Texas A&M buzzer beater at the end where the guy, he's running full speed down the court and somehow
just lobs it,
swishes it from, way behind. That shouldn't happen. Alabama should have beaten A&M that game. But I get it. You have to play the full game. I understand that. But Alabama's a pretty decent ball club, so I think they will give them some problems.
They'll give you some run in the first half.
Right.
It's going to be an inside-out game. Alabama's got a really good big guy. I believe he's, second in the league in dunks.
Yep.
But as long as we can kind of get the inside game working with Grant and Kyle, which I have no doubt about
they're going to play the inside-out game. Yeah,
we're gonna work it inside, kick it out for some threes. As long as we play our game, I'm expecting a 15 to 20 point win.
And also, you know what? You saw what happened the other night where, Admiral scored 0 points in the first half. Tennessee's still able to put up 50. The same thing could happen in a sense, too, with Grant Williams. If he has a problem, Admiral steps up. So the good thing about this team is they have depth. And so that's going to be fun to watch tomorrow. And the fact that, it's a sold-out crowd on a Saturday. It's Alabama. It's a Southeastern Conference game, 2 o'clock. It's not like people are having to come out for a 9 o'clock tip-off, which is coming soon. Just be prepared. So I look at it, it's going to be a great environment. It's going to be a lot of fun. I look forward to being there. What are you laughing at over there?
Nothing. It's a break topic.
Okay, it's a break
topic. It's a break topic. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it in a minute.
Oh, I had a lot of people that decided to DM me and say your Forrest Whitaker take was trash yesterday.
Okay.
I had 5 people DM me about this.
I didn't have a take on Forrest Whitaker.
Well, you just said you didn't know who he was. Yeah, I don't know how the hell you don't know who Forrest Whitaker is.
Forrest Whitaker is.
Okay, you know who Sean Astin is, right?
No.
Sean Astin.
Look, dude, I'm telling you, I only know maybe 5 actors by name. If I were to see them, I would recognize them.
Name me a couple actors.
I would know George Clooney. I know the absolute top of the line guys. Like George Clooney, Nick Cage. Like yesterday,
yeah,
one of the goats.
Okay,
Heath Ledger.
You're not gonna see him anymore.
Come on.
Unless you watch The Joker.
Yeah, or A Knight's Tale, or any of his other bangers.
What was that movie? Was a skateboarder. The Hounds of Lords of Dogtown, yeah,
sure,
yeah, that one. Okay, that was a good movie.
Maybe Brad Pitt or Matt Damon. Jennifer Aniston.
Oh my God!
You have
no sense of actors in the modern generation.
I know the people that are on the very top of the game. I don't know the supporting roles.
Michael B. Jordan.
I know Michael B. Jordan. I actually know Michael B. Jordan from when he was on Friday Night Lights.
That's true. He was the quarterback for the East Dillon.
Yeah.
East Dillon, right?
Yeah, whenever Coach Panthers. Taylor had to go to the poor school.
And that was ridiculous why they made him go to the poor school.
Yeah.
I didn't get it.
I love that he got to beat up on
right.
that guy, though.
Yeah, stupid father.
Yeah.
That stupid father and his stupid quarterback.
Colt.
Kid.
Or whatever.
Yeah, what a loser.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you really got to stick it to him.
I know the top of the
right
line,
right there on
guys.
The makeshift football field, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like forget you.
I see. I know the top of the line guys. Like, I just don't know. I just don't know
and
the supporting.
Rickens would come back and help out.
I did have a weird conversation with somebody I work with.
Yeah,
I was talking about the show this morning.
Okay,
and I was talking about our discussion on Forrest Whitaker and actors and movies,
right.
And. He said something about him appearing in a Star Wars or something.
I guess he did. I've never seen a Star Wars movie before.
You've never seen a Star Wars movie?
Nope.
At all?
I don't plan on it either.
Really?
Not even a Star Trek.
Well, Star Trek is like the more nerdy one. I wouldn't
think. Whatever.
But the,
yeah.
those are the
Never
reboots.
Seen a Star Wars movie.
Reboots actually really good too. But I, maybe if you haven't seen Star Wars, you might not like this story. But like,
no, I would like it. Keep going. It's got Forrest Whitaker in it.
I'm talking to this dude at my work.
Yeah.
And he apparently is a massive Star Wars fan.
Yeah, it came out of nowhere on you, didn't it?
and I was not ready. I was not ready.
Uh-oh.
So like, he said something about like, well, have you seen Episode 8? One of the newer ones. And I was like, yeah, I think I'm caught up. Like, you'll have to remind me what happened. He kind of told me like some, you know, minor details. And I was like, okay, yeah. I have seen that. I thought it was pretty good. And we were supposed to be unloading the delivery truck.
Right.
Together. Because, yeah, like, 40-pound boxes, that wears down on a guy.
Yeah, they get heavy.
All of a sudden, I say, yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I liked it. From what I remember watching it, I enjoyed that movie. Kid looks up at me and just says, you know what? I think I'm good to do this alone.
No way.
I was dumbfounded. I stopped and I like looked at him and I was like, what? Are you serious?
Did he really?
Yeah.
He didn't want anything to do with you.
He legitimately was like, yeah, I'm good.
Once you said pretty good, he was like, I'm out.
Yeah, I'm out. He was like, yeah, dang, if you want to go back up front and help them, I'm good back here.
No way. You got shown the door.
And I just, I like,
Star Wars.
I like went up and I was like talking to a couple of my friends, like the, you know, a couple of my other friends at work. Right. And I was like, you know, homeboy just shunned me.
Oh, my God. We're going to get into your movie takes later on this hour after TJ comes on. Somebody just tweeted me. They DM me, Alex Hill did, and said, well, that's way worse than Ben not seeing Three Ninjas, me not seeing a Star Wars.
Yeah,
so,
see, Star Wars is one of the biggest franchises in the world. No,
we'll talk about this coming up after TJ Moe. He's going to join us next. Look forward to having him on. Yeah, stay tuned. It's optional. My mic was off. Whatever, Fox Sports Knoxville.
It's a stranger. All that every movie makes. Another chance.
It's optional, Fox Sports Knoxville, rolling along here, bringing on our own secret agent man who survived the winter apocalypse, and there might be another one coming through for him, but TJ Moe joins us now out of Missouri. What's up, buddy?
You know what? We were supposed to get an Arctic blast. It turns out that all weathermen should lose their jobs, and we're getting nothing. Now, we may get a little bit here in St. Louis, but Kansas City for the AFC Championship game, there was, I don't think I've ever seen this before. Predicted on, like, Tuesday was a...
9 degrees.
Yeah, it was like negative 10, negative 15. Yeah. It's going to be like a high of 30. Come on.
Are you serious? Well, hell, that takes away all the fun factor of me watching.
that's totally right. I think the start of the game, it's going to be like 27, 28. They said by the middle of the fourth quarter, it's going to be 15 or so. Well, 15, anybody could play in that for a little while. Negative 10? Now I'm interested.
Well, that sucks. I mean, I was expecting the headlines of NBC to fill an Arctic blast game here at Arrowhead. Well, that's that kind of takes it away. How did you last? You stocked the basement up the last, you know, week. You made it through. You know, no problems.
I haven't left the house yet. So
are you serious?
There's the snow starting to melt, but I've done all my shows remotely. We've run out of food.
Yeah, you haven't left the house in a week, bro.
Yeah, no, I lost 15 pounds.
Oh my God! What do you have? You had power?
Yeah, the power's off. Power's great. Water works. You know, just, there's no food left because I haven't left the house.
Got to make a beer run later, bro.
That
sounds interesting. Thinking of craziness that are going on in your area, the game this weekend, man, with Kansas City and the Chiefs and the Patriots, and that's kind of where we'll start off at. You know, Tom Brady. With the funny line of, I guess we don't suck or whatever, you know, last weekend. And then they roll into, you know, Arrowhead. Can Pat Mahomes, is he at that stage right now where, you know, this is not too big for him? Where this, okay, I can go out and win this game. Like, I'm that type of player. Like, is he there yet? Or is he going to have to go out and just battle through some adversity on Sunday? What's your take on Mahomes?
Yeah, it's interesting. So they obviously lost a close one that they had to battle back from a little bit. If you remember that 75-yard touchdown to Tyreek Hill there, they lost a close one by 3 points in Foxborough. And it's kind of interesting the big games this year, the Chiefs lost. You know, it's like everybody's thinking that Pat Mahomes, because he had these 50 touchdowns and everything was, you know, 5,000 yards and he came out of nowhere, that he's crushed it, which he has. I don't want to take too much away from that. But the big games that they had to have this year, like they lost. They lost to the Seahawks, which could have lost them home field advantage. You know, it's like, remember, the Patriots are only playing in Kansas City because of a last-second crazy play by the Dolphins that we'll never see again.
Good point.
That's the only reason. Otherwise, the Patriots hold the tiebreaker head-to-head, and they'd be playing in Foxborough. So there's been some – the Chargers. You know, the Chargers beat them by a point. It came down to the last week, and the Chiefs had to beat the Raiders in order to get a home field there. So, you know, they have lost some big games this year where otherwise they, you know, they crushed a bunch of everybody else. You know, it's like they turn around, they beat the Jags, you know, by whatever it was, 16. They beat the Bengals by 35. Like, they crushed a lot of teams. But when they had to have it this year, they really didn't until last week. Last week they beat a good Colts team, and they did it at home. And I think they did what they had to do. But I think there's a psychological advantage that the Patriots have over everyone. And there's something to Pat Mahomes being young and naive enough to maybe not be affected by that. But I'm telling you, all the vets on the team will. I think there are five reasons the Patriots win playoff games and just games in general now. And part of it is longevity and such, but they have a better head coach than everybody. This still applies. He's better than Andy Reid. I think Andy Reid is as close to the match as you'll find in the NFL. But obviously, Belichick is the greatest ever. Quarterback, Tom Brady is a better quarterback than anybody. Now, for this team, I actually would give, you'd call it a draw. Pat Mahomes is just as good for Kansas City as Tom Brady is for the Patriots. So it is a bit of a draw. But normally, the Patriots have home field. Tom Brady is only 3-4 in the playoffs when he's on the road. Outside of that, he wins virtually every game at home. He's on the road this time. And they've lost the last three AFC Championship games they've played on the road. They lost to all three were to Peyton Manning, actually. The Colts in 06, the Broncos in 2013, and the Broncos again in 15. They always have a better game plan, and they have the psychological edge. So when you roll down through those five, a few of them don't apply, which I think opens the door for a win for Kansas City this weekend. But I'll tell you, I will never in my life bet against the Patriots.
So you're sure you're not going to bet against the Patriots?
No. Not a chance in hell. My 11-year-old dreams were crushed. I was a St. Louis Rams fan, and the Rams were favored by like two touchdowns, and Tom Brady came in there. Nobody knew who he was yet, and my 11-year-old dreams were crushed, and ever since that time, I said, you know, I think that Tom Brady guy is pretty good.
When you look at – I want to switch it up just for a minute. When you look at what the defense has, and there's reports out there that Eric Berry – could possibly return for this game against the Patriots. Do they have enough ability to, and we've seen it at times, but we've also seen teams, you know, put up points on them and Mahomes have to save them, you know, towards the end, kind of like you were talking about. But is this something where the Kansas City defensive line can get enough pressure on Brady for him to make mistakes in a hostile environment? Or do you just think Brady's like, okay, look, we're going into another football stadium. It is what it is. I've been through them all. I've been through the craziest. Let me just go out and play my game. Can anything psych this man out?
Oh, nobody's going to psych Brady up. He might lose. I mean, he's gotten – the last two times he's been to Kansas City, he's gotten crushed, actually.
Right.
If you guys remember. But nothing's going to psych them out. There's a stat going around, and I'm trying to find the exact stat as we're sitting here talking. Maybe you guys have seen it this week. The Chiefs' defense is not very good. We are all aware of that. But there's a stat going around that it's been like 30-something games since they've allowed 30 points at home. Like, they just don't allow more than 30 points at home. I don't know what. There is something to Arrowhead. I know most of you guys have probably never been to Arrowhead. I played there actually three times. We used to play Kansas there.
Oh, that's right.
And obviously, the Kansas doesn't have any fans, so it was just a bunch of Missouri fans in there. And it wasn't crazy loud, but you could tell that it can be crazy loud. I've actually never been there for a Chiefs game, but obviously half our roster at Missouri was Kansas City guys. And all that they talked about, they still, I believe it's the loudest stadium ever recorded, like 140 decibels or something, like right past the point of where it hurts. Like that is how loud it, I think it was a Seattle game or something a few years back. that place can get rowdy. And so I wouldn't that's the only type of thing that can maybe mess with an offense. But I know the Patriot system. I know it changes, but I learned it when I was up in Foxborough for I was there for a year. Like, it's hand signals. There will be a little bit. Like, Tom will go up there, and he'll give the alpha call and different things to let you know it's on second sound. But they can do it almost everything they need with hand signals. And so when he's talking to receivers, he's just giving little hand gestures and things. So and he's been around long enough that all he's got to do is look at Julian Edelman, and he knows what to run. That's actually a real thing. I know people kind of joke about that. If Edelman looks at the defense and Tom looks at the defense, they are on the same page. It's just when you've been around as long as they have, working together, that's the type of thing and chemistry that comes. So I don't think anything's going to slow them down. I don't think that the Chiefs are going to score less than 30 points. I would take the over in this game because the only thing I'm sticking to is that Tom Brady will score one more point than the Chiefs do. That's just history says the Patriots come out on top.
Hey, what'd you think of the Cowboys firing OC Scott Linehan today? There are reports out there that's going down.
Yeah, Scott Linehan, you know, the Cowboys have got to figure something out. And Scott Linehan, while I don't think he's very good, to be honest with you, he is a little bit hamstrung by Dak Prescott. And I know Dak Prescott is really good and people like him. Mississippi State fans love him. But he's got a couple things going for him. I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Yeah. He is really self-aware, which is awesome. But he's got a low ceiling. So when you're Scott Linehan, who we know here in St. Louis very well, I don't think he won a single game from 2006 to 2008 when he was the head coach. So we all have a little bit of bias thinking that he sucks anyway. He was a coordinator there for some time. When you have a quarterback that's so limited, you're going to end up as a coordinator getting blamed as long as they're going to stick with Jason Garrett. Jason Garrett's an average coach, but his owner's in love with him, so he's going to be around there for a while.
When you kind of take a look at what's going to happen in New Orleans, that craziness that will be the Superdome on Sunday afternoon, and just the overall perception of Saints fans is like, okay, and look, I'm one of them. I'm not as crazy as them. They're going to be down there, but I'm at that point where, okay, if the Saints can make it to the Super Bowl here, there's a good chance that Drew Brees can go out on top and retire. You know, when you look at this game against the Rams in the rematch, is this, in your mind, are we going to get another crazy one like we got, about a month and a half ago where it was just back and forth and, you know, no defense was really stepping up? Or do you think this is a game where this one that could actually be slowed down because of the running games?
Yeah, I think it's slowed down because of the running games. I think it's slowed down because they are still – good defensive presence on each of these teams, and they both had to a week to go get healthy. Like, it mattered a lot to Aqib Talib that he got to chill for a week before last week, and it mattered a lot to Ndamukong Suh. You know, it matters a lot to some of these older guys on the roster who can sit and rest. There is a massive advantage to getting a bye week, and some of them got healthy. That helps. It also helps that Aqib Talib is going to be back for this game. He didn't play in the first one, and Marcus Pierce got absolutely abused by Michael Thomas to the tune of over 200 yards and a 72-yard touchdown.
Right.
Marcus Peters is do you remember a couple years ago when Jordy Nelson got hurt and then Randall Cobb had to try to take over as the number one receiver?
Yeah.
He was horrible. Remember, it's like everybody thought, what happened to him? Well, he doesn't suck. He's just a number two receiver. I think that's who Marcus Peters is. I think it's a very similar thing. There are guys that are built to be the number two guy when you really don't have all the pressure of being the number one guy. Remember, Marcus Peters let up a ton of yardage when he was in Kansas City, but he got a ton of pick sixes, so everybody's like, yeah, okay, well, he's still good. But he's always been the guy who really shouldn't be on your primary. He just doesn't perform that well. Aqib Talib, even though he's a step slower than he was in his prime of 2013 and 14, has been more of that guy who has the attitude to take out the top receiver. So I'd expect to see more Aqib Talib on Michael Thomas, and so that's going to slow things down for them a little bit. I also think you're going to see a lot of Alvin Kamara trying to neutralize Aaron Donald. It's interesting. Aaron Donald only had one tackle in this game the first time they played, which is crazy. He had four quarterback hurries, but didn't have a single he had one tackle, no sacks. I don't think the Rams had any sacks. I mean, they were getting the ball out of his hands, and Alvin Kamara is a big reason for that, because when you send him out of the backfield, that either stops the blitz because the linebacker has to peel off and go cover him, or you just get the ball out early, and then that neutralizes the pass rush. I don't know if you saw that video. There was a really cool mic'd up with Joey Bosa and Tom Brady, and you know, Tom Brady got the ball out real quick, and Bosa kind of goes over and pat him on the butt. He said, "Tom, quit throwing the ball so fast. Jesus." You know, it's like it's that type of thing when you have an Alvin Kamara on the roster that you can get the ball out to. So I would expect a lot of run game. I think I have not seen a fatter running back than C.J. Anderson since Jerome Bettis retired. But we're going to see a mixture of that. If Santa Claus comes
He wasn't like that, though, dude. Like, that's the crazy thing, TJ. Like, when he was at, what was it, Denver?
Yeah.
I mean, he was, yeah. I mean, and look, God bless him. That guy is still a bruiser when it comes to a running back. But he, and this is not a knock. I mean, I could use a few LBs myself, but he must have put on 40 pounds since then.
In the gut. He doesn't have 40 pounds in his arms. There's nothing in his forearms. I've never seen a guy who legit, seriously, it's, my co-host on my radio show asked me the other day, he said, "You ever seen a guy in a Rams uniform look that fat?" I said, "Hell yeah, Jerome Bettis." And he's the only other guy that's ever been that fat to play the position. He is legitimately an overweight running back that still has a burst, and there's a he needed to sit out some games. And it obviously didn't work in Carolina there. That was an unbelievable pickup by the Rams, who really needed somebody to spell Todd Gurley, in all honesty, because Todd Gurley was slowing down. He took three games off. But C.J. Anderson had a better burst than Todd Gurley last week, which I can't believe I'm saying after we just talked about how he looked like the freaking Kool-Aid man.
It blows me away. And the fact that he is still rumbling and mumbling over folks is just so much fun to watch.
Is
what it is. We'll see it play out. Hopefully my Saints win. Hey, last couple questions for you. The staff changes at Alabama. They've been a lot, but it looks like they're trying to put things back together. They hired Kyle Flood, reportedly, and then they're going to hire Sal Sinceri, big name around here, from Florida for him to go to Alabama. Now, let me ask you, I'm setting this up. There's an article that came out from Feldman, and it was about Dan Enos and the way that he left Alabama without saying anything to anybody and just kind of dipped out on Nick Saban. Do you think that is a culture thing, or do you think it was like, man, I got to get the hell out of here and I don't really care who knows?
Yeah, it's interesting. I did see that article from Bruce Feldman, who does a really good job. Dan Enos tweeted out basically I don't know if you saw that, I will read it to you. He said, "I would never leave an employer without telling them I was doing so. No ghosting here." I do appreciate the teenage girl reference there. "Nothing but respect for CNS and Alabama. Bottom line, business is business, and it was time for me to exit. Wish all the best to RTR, CNS, and the program." He's using a lot of acronyms that I don't even know what they mean. But I know this. We talked about this last week. I don't think anybody likes working for Nick Saban. I think it's something you do to go win. And Dan didn't have a job, and everybody kind of knew that he was a really good coach. But when you get an opportunity to go work for a guy who would actually treat you like a human being, you probably do that. Nick Saban is crazy. And the staff turnover, I was reading an article, it's like they have five or six new assistants every single season. So, you know, here's the bottom line of all of it, and he's proving this every year. The assistants don't matter. And eventually, it's going to turn into something where everybody stops trying to hire these guys away, unless it's a rehab stint like Lane Kiffin, who I actually think is a really brilliant offensive coach. But outside of that, like if you just have a guy, like you don't even know if he's learning anything in Alabama, because Nick Saban is the system. Nick Saban does everything. Enos may be the outlier because he did a really good job with the quarterbacks this year. But think about this. Alabama has four receivers, and they had five this year. I think they lost one. That would be number one receivers on virtually every SEC team. They have Tua Tagovailoa coming back as a junior, and he left to go to Miami. What does that tell you about how much he's liked working for Nick Saban?
That's a great point. No, it makes sense, and I think you when you see folks like Gaddis and Tosh and all these guys kind of dip out for moves that are kind of questionable, but I guess better for the career. It makes us all think. Looks like we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. This will carry on, and they'll keep hiring. So, TJ, my man, look, I know you've been like Tom Hanks and Castaway inside your house for the last 7 days. I pray to God that you actually get out sometime soon and get some sunshine on your face. But I do appreciate you joining us, buddy. Tell everybody where they can follow you and your fantastic work, since I'm sure you'll be doing it from your basement for the next 5 days.
That's true. There's no snow left in the ground. My beard is down to my belly button, but I'm not leaving this house. Anyway, no, you can. My shows are off on YouTube. Go to TJMO28. You can check those out. I just did a preview on the AFC and NFC Championship game. Also, Mel Kiper came out as the top 10, and your boy's going to be pissed. No Drew Locke in the top 10.
Oh, snap.
Eventually come around. They got Dwayne Haskins, the first quarterback off the board at number 6 to the Giants. I assume that's all going to change 900 times before the draft episode comes around. Other than that, follow me on Twitter at TJMO28. That's where you and I kind of hit it off and had some fun. So anyway, thanks for having me, dude.
Buddy, thank you so much, man. Have a wonderful weekend, and hoot at to you.
There you go, buddy.
Thanks,
there,
brother. Be well. All right, TJ Mo, fantastic interview. Getting that look from my producer. I need to take a break. We'll come back on the other side, and we'll talk movies with Ben and his horrible taste. It's optional. Fox Sports Knoxville.
Volunteer Pharmacy knows that life can be a little crazy. That's why Volunteer...
Oh, my God. The quicker I get back on... Okay, it's not actually that bad of a... The rhythm of this is not actually bad. Like, the beats on this.
Girls just want to have fun.
You know what was on the other night? The end of it that I watched and I hadn't seen in a long time. The ending to Footloose. The last dance scene. Kevin Bacon can bring it.
Only ever seen it once.
He can still bring it.
And I don't know that I remember a whole lot. Other than the part where he's in that factory.
The father was the pastor.
Yeah, in the town, you're not allowed to dance.
You're not allowed to dance in this town.
Yeah.
Kevin Bacon goes in front of the board and petitions it and then gets to hold a prom. And then Sean Penn's brother can't dance, and he teaches him how to dance during the movie. It was like the last we saw of Sean Penn's brother. And he's still in some stuff, I think. I don't even know.
I've really only ever... I think I saw the reboot, actually, of Footloose.
Oh, my God.
One time, and did not retain a second of it.
No, I never went down the path. These movie choices are very interesting to me.
What do you mean?
Well, you only know A-list actors. Like
I hit the big ones.
And you didn't know who Forrest Whitaker was. That was a throw-off. You didn't know what Three Ninjas Kickback or Three Ninjas, the first one was. Have you seen all the Karate Kids?
I saw
all of them.
I saw the first one for sure, probably the second one.
The second one was when they went to Japan, and he fought in that ring of fire-looking thing.
I might not have seen the second one. I might have only seen the first one.
The second one where they were sitting there and they were...
That's in the first one, too.
No, I'm not talking about him healing him. I'm talking about that little ball thing that they had, all the people in the crowd... In Japan or China, were
Dang
it! Okay, I can't describe.
Not ringing a bell. I know the first one. I know sweep the leg.
Right. What about number three? When he returns,
is that he's like an older guy?
No. This is when he returns. Well, kinda. But then the guy comes back with the sensei, and he buys Cobra Kai Dojo. And damn it, man. Okay. You're not really. What about the one with Hilary Swank? Did you catch that one out?
I don't know, man. Like,
you didn't watch. Hilary Swank was the Karate Kid. So you have to know if you saw Hilary Swank as the Karate Kid. Or
you're telling me there's one where there's a woman Karate Kid?
Yes.
I thought you were talking about the one with like Jaden Smith or whatever.
No, that's another one.
There's too many at this point.
There's too many Karate Kids.
We just need the one.
And now there's a series on YouTube, Cobra Kai.
Oh, God.
That was actually pretty funny. I thought it was stupid at first, but it was actually pretty funny.
No, really, the atrocity here...
What?
...is that you've never seen any of the Star Wars.
I'm trying to stay off that topic.
What about, like, the Indiana Jones series?
I've seen one.
Are you serious? And you're saying that
I've seen two. I saw the first one.
You're saying I need to go watch Ninja, the Three Ninja Kickback, and you haven't seen one Star of the Wars. Biggest, one of the most highest grossing franchises of all time, and then one of the most like, just I don't know, one of the bigger franchises as well. Like okay. Indiana Jones is up there, you know.
Right. It
I
is.
Mean, have you seen Harry Potter?
No.
Oh my God.
No, not seen Harry Potter. I will not watch Harry
These
Potter.
These are three. I've
seen
major...
all the Lord of the Rings.
Okay, see, like, that doesn't make sense to me. But you, I'm sat
not
through,
watch
you sat
Harry
through
Potter.
12 hours
I'm not
and
watching
three
some
movies.
Damn kids on a broom fly away.
It's more than that. It's
I get
a,
that.
There's a war.
There probably is, but it's
there's
PG.
There's a lot of stuff.
So how much of
it's
a war?
It's PG-13.
Harry Potter's PG-13?
Come on.
Okay, there's a tad bit of violence.
Actually,
there.
I think for a while, there was enough going on in the last two, they almost made them R.
No, there was no way they're making a Harry Potter movie R. Okay, no, that's not happening.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
You're
going to
have kids stacked on kids going up to movie theaters and trying to sneak in.
Chopping snakes' heads off and killing people. Left and right, blowing stuff up.
That doesn't do it for me. Like, unless I can personally get on a broomstick and fly away.
Oh, so you have to be able to do everything that you see in the movie?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that all the way. I'm just saying that I'll take the Batman franchise over Harry Potter, Star Wars, Star Trek.
Yeah, it's so much more logical to have a guy like the Joker come in and absolutely just, you know.
It is. How can it not be? You couldn't see somebody like the Joker, some madman.
You're saying that it's more logical to have a guy like Bane come in and just cut off New York City from the world.
Well, it was Pittsburgh, but Gotham was okay.
Gotham is
New
York.
They filmed in Pittsburgh. I know.
Okay, but Gotham is New York.
Yes,
and he's saying you're saying it's
then
more
space
logical
fighters
that a singular person
can have a nuclear bomb.
Can rope off an entire the main.
Well, you can blow up the bridges.
Source to the outside world, essentially from America.
Blow
just rope
up the
it
bridges
off.
And stuff.
Just rope it off. Then
right,
it
he
is,
controls everything.
Then it is for somewhere way off in the universe, right. In our ever expanding universe that we have no idea about.
Right.
Have some more, you know. Have starships and stuff.
I don't think there's like starships out there.
I mean, yeah, you know.
I mean, I just don't think we're going to
have.
Did you not hear about the Space Force?
No. Well, yeah, we did. President Trump is trying to put together the Space Force.
He's trying to put together the Space Force.
Actually, Steve Carell's making a.
I can't wait for that.
It's going to be awesome.
That looks good.
A movie or a TV show about it?
Yeah, it's a TV show with the creator of The Office.
Yeah, that's going to be hilarious.
Can you imagine that one? Like, bring Dwight back, part of the Space Force?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I wish they would really do something like that.
A reboot or just like
not a reboot. No, maybe transition into something else like Dwight Schrute down the road.
See, that's what I've always said. If you're gonna bring it back, you gotta pick up where we saw it last.
Right.
And like you gotta have Jim down in Houston doing his thing with Athlete, I guess.
Look, Krasinski will never star in it again, but he can do like a cameo.
Yeah.
But just have like Dwight and Kevin.
Yeah, it's gotta be like
those guys haven't done anything since Office.
No,
they're still just collecting royalties.
All those, it's hilarious because all those characters. You never see Jim or Michael.
No.
Ever like tweeting out like, oh, loved hanging out with the Office crew. It's just the guys that were in the background that.
Right.
That are still like clinging on to that little bit of fame.
Right, and they could. I bet you $100 that would dominate any time slot if they came back on.
Yeah.
And they could do it the same damn way.
If
and
they
Dwight
just had,
could.
Had Dwight the manager.
And they could move the darn place to like, where was the other branch? The other branch was not in Scranton.
There was Scranton, New York, Stanford, New Hampshire.
Right, they could move like another branch. I don't even care.
Yeah.
Just follow Dwight around. Like the rest of that crap, they need money too. They go help out the crew and start a new one. I'm telling you, it'd beat anything on the show on TV.
That is where it should be.
Game of Thrones.
I don't know about that. Game of Thrones is a phenomenon. I mean, so much so that it's got Cody McClure.
What if they brought like Robert California back? Right?
See, he was such an intriguing character to me.
I didn't know what the hell to expect from that character.
And, like, it was one of those things that, like, every time I still rewatch it, I'm just like, I don't know anything about you.
No. That was the point.
Yeah. Like, and really, I've kind of like...
Like, you just come in and make decisions and then just leave.
Disappear.
Right.
And I've like, I've kind of worked myself after like thinking on it and thinking on it. Like, I just kind of think he's a con man.
Yeah.
Like, he literally silver-tongued his way up to the top.
Right.
And then, as he got bought out, he silver-tongued the guy who bought him out.
Exactly.
And said, how about you give me $1 million to go hang out with the gymnast in Europe?
Yeah, Russian gymnast or whatever it was. Yeah, no, I know. And then the fact you could bring Ed Helms back. Like, Ed Helms is not in movies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he made a lot of money doing other things, but I'm just saying you can bring him back. I'm just, Jenna Fisher's done good for herself outside. She has found roles, kind of.
Yeah. She's the queen of.
But we all knew that Jim and Michael were the ones that were, Steve Carell and John Krasinski were the ones that were going to move on. And I am surprised, though, that I forgot his name, Rain Wilson, Dwight, that he didn't get anything after, like a show with him somewhere.
Well,
he made a movie or two.
Yeah, well, they had even spit out the idea of doing a Dwight on the Farm thing.
Right. Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Which I thought would have been great, too.
Which is very surprising. So let's take a break. We'll come back on the other side. We will wrap up It's Optional today. So appreciate Ben Lee hanging out with me. We'll come back the other side. We'll finish it up. That decided it would be good for some kind of Air Force training exercise in downtown Nashville and to take off from the airport. I don't know whoever's dumbass mistake this was, but I'm watching videos right now of people that are absolutely terrified working in the high rises of downtown Nashville because a plane is literally flying in downtown Nashville. Like
at eye level.
At eye level, below the Bat Tower. Like, you've got a plane flying near downtown Nashville below the... And this is a big-ass plane. So, whoever is the Nimrod over in Nashville that agreed to this, and you've got... Look, I'm watching a video right now that somebody's like, I have to get out of here. I don't want to be here right now. I don't want to be here right now. Like, you know what kind of terrors went through their body? Like, when they saw it, like the plane coming into downtown... Like, what a dumbass. Whoever did that, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. You're an idiot, and you deserve to be fired for approving. You can go train to do the Air Force stuff somewhere else. You don't fly right over downtown Nashville and not let people know what's going on. Send out a text message alert saying, hey, the Air Force is doing something today. We're flying a plane. You bunch of dimwits. You idiots. I'm sorry, but you saw the video I just showed you.
I mean, yeah, like, I'd be freaked out if I was hanging out in one of the towers downtown in Nashville, and I just looked out and essentially just saw a plane flying by right in front of my face.
I mean...
I didn't think you'd get this fired up, though.
No, it's just... I'm tweeting it right now. Okay, when you have something like that happening and it's so close... to buildings and people like see it coming, it's like, man, that's trippy, man. I don't even know what to say. Like, just idiots. I whatever. I'm lost for words, man. Because that video tripped me out. Like, I felt bad for that girl.
I mean, yeah, no, like, it was awful hearing her be like, I can't be in here right now.
I mean, this plane like went like right behind the Bat Tower. And was like below the Bat Tower. Like that was the trippy part. So I don't know. I don't know. That's an interesting way to almost end the show today. But I just find that whoever did that, you were an idiot. You deserve to be fired, or you deserve the city of Nashville some kind of response to say sorry. So bunch of Nimrods. Now I've got people texting me from Nashville, my buddies, sending me videos of all this. You just have to go look at it. Like, I don't even know what to say. Whatever. So, also, Ben, your movie selection still sucks.
What do you mean?
I just wanted to throw that back in there.
You're the one here who is ignoring the two of the three biggest franchises ever made. and telling me to go watch some movie called Three Ninjas Kickback that looked like that when I glanced over the cover art yesterday, in a matter of probably 2.5 seconds, kind of looked like puppets. Looked like it was just like some 90s, Alf type puppets.
Don't hate on Alf.
You a big Alf guy?
I was growing up, man. I was an Alf guy. I don't know. Somebody's tweeting me in. Training exercise before the inauguration tomorrow was announced beforehand and happens literally every 4 hours.
A plane flies that low in Nashville every 4 hours? I think someone would have noticed that.
According to the air traffic control tower at Nashville International Airport, the plane is conducting a training exercise for Governor Bill Lee's inauguration. Bunch of idiots. I don't even care. This is ridiculous. I said, who's the dumbass to approve this in Nashville? Somebody said, Trump, some trust you have in the Air Force.
You hear it here first. Trey hates the troops.
That's the message from today.
That's a way to end the show.
Good Lord.
Trey hates the troops.
Stupid tweeters out there. Idiots. I got people texting me right now as we go out of the show that said, there was a palpable fear in the office. You think? This has been fun this week. Thanks to Ben Lee for joining me for the last 2 days. He's been fantastic. Go follow him on Twitter at whatever his Twitter name is.
BWLee18.
Thank you so much. You guys be good. Be blessed. See you tomorrow at the basketball game. We're out. Trap money, Benny. I buy you champagne, but you love some Henny. Front of block like you, Jenny.